I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The COB is brought to you by Pepperstone, trusted by traders in over 160 countries. From Barangaroo Studios, here's what you need to know about the day in business and finance.
Well, hello, hello. Happy Monday to you. I'm Nadine Blaney.
And I'm Tessa Arcilia. And it is a happy Monday indeed.
It sure is. Green on the screen. Actually, all of that enthusiasm that we saw in the US on Friday did translate into what we had here today, even though we've got a big risk event on the horizon with the RBA tomorrow.
We do. And I mean, there has been some subdued trading, but I think, yeah, the carryover from what happened in the US has really buoyed the markets. And I think that's, you know, with expectations of when cuts are going to happen. So that's, it kept the market in the green. Let's just have a look at where the market is at the moment. It is up 0.55% there. The ASX, if we can check where it's at, it is
making sort of
0.61%. Yeah, there we go.
And we've got all of the major sectors. We'll get there in just a moment, but all of them higher. 9 out of the 11, I should say, higher. Industrials is the exception. Energy is the exception. REITs are up 1.5%. Today, and according to ASX data, up by 4.7% for the past 5 days. So that rally, we'll take it.
Yeah.
The RBA just had a chat with Lachlan Meekman from Go Markets, who was saying he reckons a lot of this enthusiasm, this expectation for a very hawkish Fed, sorry, RBA, I should say, is very much been priced into the Aussie dollar today, which has gone really well today. He thinks that there might be a little bit of disappointment tomorrow in terms of he doesn't think the RBA is going to sound overly hawkish.
Oh, really? That's an interesting take, because as we've already seen, a lot of the banks kind of enter that expectation of we're going to see probably pushing the cuts back towards the end of the year. So, okay, expectations are of disappointment, I suppose, tomorrow. It's
well,
interesting.
It depends, I guess, on where you're coming from. One thing that is getting a lot of, what do we say, a lot of copy, a lot of consideration, is the fact that we've got budget looming. Right. And we've got state budgets, Queensland, looking at you, and also the federal treasurer, Jim Chalmers, today saying that it's going to be a very middle-of-the-road budget. And there are concerns that the budget could actually be inflationary. You know, the RBA and the government are going to be sort of butting heads when it comes to some of these inflationary pressures. So I guess that's why I put the question mark after budget.
Yeah, I think they're also trying to be really careful with what they say, obviously, before budget, to not push too much. They say they're going to try to find a middle ground, but they did say they will increase funding to some of the sectors that have lagged funding out of that $3 billion, I believe, that they had as savings from previous budgets. So,
Yeah, we'll bring you budget coverage
as it
happens. We'll do it from a market perspective. You know, what stocks, what sectors could potentially be impacted. But you've got to say, you know, if we've got inflationary pressures coming through from the budget, that will impact, well, you know, the routine, all equities. But let's just focus on
the
good.
Happy news. Yeah. Okay, so what we're up today, looking at the REITs, I think they were leading the gains today. Charter Hall at the top there, Centre Group, Goodman Group as well. But at the bottom of that, Dexus and Mervac down today.
Yeah, Goodman Group did have some broker upgrades coming through, being tipped to upgrade its earnings per share guidance yet again. That was coming from Citi, who says that the upgrade could come as soon as Wednesday. So there you go. I wonder if it's because Goodman Group will be presenting at the Macquarie Conference that kicks off tomorrow.
Ooh.
But, you know, you don't often see analysts saying when an upgrade could come. But look, it's just saying that it's the internalization of its New Zealand management company, the strength of the industrial logistics portfolio, and of course, the rollout of data centers. It's quite the buzz, Tessa.
Oh, indeed. We're keeping an eye on that Macquarie Conference, by the way, for you bringing all the latest there. All right, energy check. So energy today wasn't doing well. I believe that oil prices have stabilized after Saudi Arabia announced that price hike. So we're seeing that on the board, Santos, Woodside. Well, Santos is down, Woodside, Paladin, and Boss slightly up. Boss up there by 2.4%, and Karoon Energy down by 1%.
I hosted the call today. Philip Pepe from Shawn Partners was there. They're uranium bulls. And in fairness, they've been bullish on uranium for... well, a couple of years, and Deep Yellow was what we discussed on the program, but he reckons that Boss Energy is his personal, one of his personal preferred pick in that uranium space.
All right. And looking at tech now, of course, interest rate sensitive, WiseTech Global topping that up 2%. And NextDC, sorry, is up 3.3% and 0. At the other end of it, Altium and TechOne down as well.
Yeah, that's pretty punchy for NextDC. And you can put that down to, in part at least, get this, Morgan Stanley has lifted its price target by close to 6% to $20 per share.
Oh, wow.
And look, I know that some people watch this live, some people listen to this in podcast form, but I just had a conversation with a really interesting gentleman from ICE Investments, and he was talking to me about Life 360. Life 360, I think, Tessa, does report later in the week, and I think we'll be speaking with the CEO. Chris Hulls at that time. Big big focus on NextDC because of its advertising, new advertising model as well.
And of course, Westpac was in the news today after announcing that $1 billion share buyback and a special dividend of 15 cents a share. And that, of course, brings up the interim dividend to 75 cents. So I think there's a lot of good news there looking at their finances, right? And going back to the shareholders and Endeavor Group, Nadine.
Yeah. Okay. So Westpac, that's a pretty good result, I think, in
it
the
is,
share price move coming through. Endeavor Group was out with the third quarter, I think it was, retail sales at $2.4 billion. Hotel sales were up 1.5% on the year. It was also weird. It was also featured on the call today. I feel like I'm just really hammering home the call today. But anyways, share price up by 0.5% today.
And looking at Transurban, they had made no change to their full year 24 distribution guidance at their investor day today, but it also did upgrade its free cash definition to create, they say, greater alignment with operational performance, which they did flag to the market today.
Yeah. I read a really interesting note from RBC Capital on that one as well. But yeah, share price off by 0.6%. Qantas reached a settlement with the competition regulator, might have to pay out $100 million civil penalty also.
$20 million that is dollars to those, all of those people affected by those cancellations.
And GrainCorp.
Yes. They had a trading update today with their preliminary results. They were down, Nadine, and but we saw there's decline in volumes, and they said it had to do with the agri environment as well.
Yeah, and supply chain, et cetera. Look, they report on Friday. Reading some analysis, again, I think it was RBC Capital saying that they were caught off guard by this downgrade coming from GrainCorp because it's been very transparent with a lot of its guidance previously and because they had thought, I suppose, that things were on track. So the share price was down by 3.81%. I spoke with Nathan Somasundaram from Deep Data Analytics and Philip Pepe on, guess what, the call to get their take on GrainCorp. It was stock of the day.
Down, in a bad result, it's great. It's actually positive for me, in the agri sector. So in that context, we're not in GrainCorp. We actually prefer Elders. And I think it's fine. If you're there, I'll be holding it. But I prefer Elders on a risk-return basis.
We've had already in April, at least in New South Wales, in the first 6 days, almost a month's worth of average rainfall. Not quite. But we think we've had 100 millimetres of rain versus 125 that we normally get. So this winter is shaping up to be pretty decent, which will impact both these companies FY25. So for me, perhaps consensus stuck to guidance too closely. Should have taken it with a little bit more cynicism. Pays a good dividend yield. If they don't cut it, 6% dividend yield, it's a little bit cheap. There'll be some downgrades overnight. I'm going to call it a hold because analysts should have known this. The share price suggests that many people did call it a hold.
Hold. That was a verdict. Yeah. Hold.
Well, there we go. That was Song of the Day, GrainCorp. And now let's welcome to the COB, Josh Gilbert from eToro. Josh, thanks very much for joining us today. Let's get your take, first of all, on market movement today. So happy days, happy Monday.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great way to start a Monday. It's always nice to see green when we start the week. Obviously, getting that nice tailwind from U.S. stocks on Friday after we had that the non-farm payrolls data. You know, a bit of a Goldilocks report ultimately, I think, as we saw it, and obviously that lifted sort of rate cut expectations again in the U.S. sort of really putting September, I think, back on the table again. And I think that's just sort of helped take away a little bit of anxiety from investors, because all we've sort of really heard over the last sort of few weeks is, you know, the pushback in rate cut expectations and this idea that we may get hikes from other central banks. We see that as pretty unlikely, you know, especially in the US. And we sort of had a bit of a dovish take, I think, from Jerome Powell in the week as well, sort of, you know, leaving the door open for cuts this year. So yeah, pretty positive. Obviously, we had Westpac as well coming out with that result. But, you know, whenever we've got a big name like that, you know, lifting by, you know, more than 2%, it's always going to be a bit of a drag higher for the market as well. So yeah, I think a great start to the week.
Okay, so if it's a great start to the week, we still do, though, have big risk event here with the RBA, but we've still got a lot of those US earnings coming through as well. I mean, the verdict that I'm getting is, you know, these Mag 7 or Mag 6, let's call it, minus Tesla, have really come to the party. You know, they're really proving their worth and that their valuations are not that stretched. What do you make of that, Josh?
Yeah, completely agree. They've continued to do the sort of the heavy lifting in the sort of the earnings seasons that we've seen over the last sort of three or four quarters. Last check, I think earlier today, earnings were up by around about sort of 35-36% growth in the quarter. Compare that to the S&P 500, we sort of sat at around about 5%. So, you know, two good things we can take away there is that one is the S&P 500 is, you know, seeing earnings growth better than expected, which is, you know, really positive. And pretty much every S&P 500 sector has surprised to the upside as well on earnings as well. So I think lots of positivity. Go back to the Mag 7 as well. Again, really flexing their financial muscle, you know, this quarter, most, you know, delivering either dividends or buybacks or investing in the right areas. I mean, Apple coming through with the biggest buyback in history, Meta and Alphabet handing down dividends, Amazon, you know, maybe disappointing without that dividend, but also, you know, they sort of made up for it by saying, we're going to reinvest and we're going to reinvest in AI. So I think pretty much every name from that Mag 7, you mentioned Tesla as well. Yes, they didn't deliver, you know, but Musk delivered that magic that we were sort of really looking for, coming through with that sort of cheaper, you know, cheaper model that we were expecting, you know, talking about AI, talking about sort of the robo-taxi. So I think pretty much all of those names delivered in one way or another. And I think that's really helped markets.
And an interesting point from Bob Desmond today from Claremont Capital that we had, he said that it probably isn't that wise to put all of these, the Mag 7 or Mag 6, into one basket and just analyze them individually. And he doesn't even think AI is driving all of them. So that's an interesting point. Well, Josh, I'll bring you back to Australia, RBA, tomorrow. We'd like to know your thoughts on expectations there.
Yeah, I think there's been so much discussed around, you know, the RBA, especially after we had that hotter than expected inflation print, obviously. And I think we've got takes from pretty much, you know, each economist having their own view on it. So I think it's a bit of a mindful for investors to sort of really look at. But I think it depends on how we want to look at this, whether it's with a glass half empty or a glass half full. Yes, the Australian economy's been probably more resilient than many expected. You know, that last hurdle on inflation is sort of proving to be probably harder to fight, but ultimately we are still moving in the right direction. We are still seeing inflation fall, and the consumer has probably remained resilient as well. You know, we've seen retail sales hold up, and you know, employment numbers have also stayed the same, and that's because, you know, we've obviously got, you know, pretty strong migration. So I think bottom line, inflation is on the way down. Consumer spending, I think, is going to continue to slow. I think unemployment is going to pick up. I do think putting a hike on the table is probably very unlikely, but obviously, you know, that's what markets are sort of thinking right now, completely taking away this idea of a cut this year. I do think we'll see the sort of the language from the RBA change this week. Obviously, you know, in the last meeting, that the big focal point was not ruling anything in or not ruling anything out. I'm sure we'll probably get a slightly more hawkish tone this week than what we had last time, because, you know, pretty much when, you know, Michelle Bullock went with that commentary last time, it was essentially the move away from the hawkish rhetoric and more towards a neutral rhetoric. But I think that changes slightly this week. It would be a surprise to not see them change that language, especially with markets very much expecting them to change to that. And also, if we look at market pricing, you know, cuts or sort of hikes is basically what we're sort of expecting there. So if we don't get that language, I think it's gonna be great news for the local market. Obviously, we'll probably see, you know, cuts maybe priced back in towards the end of the year, and I think that will be a big tailwind. But yeah, bottom line, I think they'll stay with obviously what they've said so far, but I think we will get a slightly more sterner tone from Michelle Bullock this week.
Okay, well, all I can say is that by this time tomorrow, we will know. Just before we let you go, just curious, we have a lot of enthusiasm about uranium stocks. Interesting that we're starting to see lithium come back to the fore, particularly toward the end of last week. Josh, are you seeing evidence of that across the platform?
Yeah, look, I think lithium stocks, we've seen continued interest as time has gone on. If we have a look at sort of our top stocks from Q1, we continue to have lithium stocks in there. And I think what that showed is that investors have been looking towards, especially those sort of quality names in lithium, think Pilbara Minerals, you know, those types of stocks, that when they've seen prices fall, you know, if we look at Pilbara, maybe not as much as the others, given the quality that it probably, you know, has compared to maybe some of those other names that maybe don't have the cash to sort of try and see through this lithium winter. But investors are certainly keeping their eyes on these stocks. And I think, you know, that will prove to be prudent, because, you know, we see this sort of, you know, the death of EV, if you like, that I've seen quoted in some places, you know, very overdone. Lithium prices have sort of come back. Yes, we are in sort of what is, you know, a tough period, especially with interest rates so high. Investors are certainly looking to sort of try and pick up some bargains, and they're looking long distance with this. They're not looking short term here. We're thinking, you know, 5 to 10 years, and I think, as I say, that will be prudent given the transition that we continue to see for electric vehicles over the long term. So yeah, lithium continues to be an area that remains a top focus for investors.
All right, Josh, thanks so much for joining us on the CUB. Josh Gilbert there from eToro.
Thanks, Josh.
Thanks, guys.
All right, let's get to the market leaders and laggards. If you haven't checked your screen, Helius was one of the best performers it was the best performer on the 200. I'm not seeing any news associated with it. I've been wrong before, but that's what my screens are telling me. Nickel Industries was also up there. We talked about that price target revision coming through from Jefferies, from Macquarie, from Citi, and from Bell Potter as well, after its quarterly activities. And then NextDC as well, seeing this broker upgrade coming through from Morgan Stanley, price target lifted by close to 6% to $20 a share. So just sitting at $17.11
today. Of course, Goodman Group makes it on the way to the top there today. All right, other end of the market, you've got the laggards, Block, down 9.23%. Is there some news on that today?
Well, that's, I think, a follow-on from a spike that we saw yesterday. Now, it did put out a statement of its CDIs on issue. I don't know if that would be, you know, why, considering we had the quarterly on Friday. Spark came out with a downgrade, essentially, as did Grain Corp that we already discussed. West African Resources, not sure what's going on there. And Fletcher Building, no news that I can see, but Fletcher Building has been a bit battered and bruised this year.
Well, now to the smaller end of the market, where we have the leaders there.
Well, I can't talk. That's a very weird, yes. I might get that changed in the system, but that's Southern Cross Electrical Engineering.
Almost 20%.
It is a darling of many people I speak with. We had a bit of a chat with Philip Pepe on the call about this one, and it was also for consideration by the investment committee. That new episode gets live around this time tomorrow. But yeah, more contract wins. And yeah, it's just, you know, it just continues to come through with those contract wins and being rewarded accordingly.
Huge gains today. All right. BrainChip there at the top as well. And on the other end, we've got ResDev down almost 19% there. Hot Chili almost 16%.
I saw them put out a release today, because I always forget what they do. They're into exploring and mining. So clearly something in that report did not float the boats of investors. And Hancock & Gore was also out with an update today. And Yeah, I didn't have a chance to read through it all, but down by 12%.
Mm. Okay. All right. So we are looking at what's happening overnight. We've got PMIs coming out from some European countries overnight. And of course, we're keeping a close eye on FOMC members speaking. We've got Barkin and Williams there. And earnings continue tomorrow as well. We've got AMC there.
That'll be an interesting one.
It'll be an interesting one. And Palantir
but
as
well. But yes, these FOMC speakers, I mean, boy, they get around, don't they? tomorrow we've got our own speaker, Michelle Bullock, the RBA governor. We'll be carrying that live here, and that's from 3:30. We'll be having our rates analysis program from 2:30 Eastern. So
do join us for
happening
that.
Here.
Yeah, and of course, earnings. We have ANZ out tomorrow. We've got a couple of AGMs as well and investor briefing of Origin. Right
and as you alluded to earlier, Tessa, we will be keeping our eye on ASX announcements for anything coming from that Macquarie conference, which I put something up online on Friday, a little chat I had with June Bailu from Trebek Investment Partners. She was just talking about the amount of fireside chats that they're having this year as compared to last and wondering how that might change the flavor of the news flow, the immediacy of the news flow.
Might actually be faster and might actually get tidbits. Yeah, but you were talking about dripping the information,
I mean,
aren't you?
When you think about it, if they do a presentation, then that presentation gets sent right to the ASX. You know, it's a bit more immediate, I guess, than a conversation piece. But we'll see. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just going by what I'm being told around here. Final figures for the S&P ASX 200. Well, that's the SIBO Australia Index, and it closed well into positive territory, slightly off the highs of the day, up by half of 1%, though. And we've got the S&P ASX 200.
0.7%.
Yeah, up 7,682. Yeah. So that's pretty solid.
And we do have the sectors, so still, well, 7 of 11 sectors ending higher on the ASX 200 right there.
So we do have the UK market closed for a holiday. I'm just looking at E-minis. I know they don't mean a lot at this time, but still mildly positive for the S&P and the NASDAQ E-minis. And so, yeah, I guess we'll be keeping our eyes out for those earnings results coming through. Some stuff coming in from Europe as well.
And also the RBA. Looking forward to that tomorrow. It's going to be an exciting day. So do join us again. And thanks very much for watching.
Good night.
The COB is brought to you by Pepperstone, trusted by traders in over 160 countries.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.